Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Metzia Daf Lamed Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the Mishnah, three lines from the top. Hamafkid peros etzel chavero, someone entrusted vegetation, fruits, and the like, let's say perishables, by someone else. What obligations are there upon the shomer, upon the bailey, in the event that these perishables start depreciating? Afilu hein avudim lo yigabohen. The Tanakhama says, even if they are going to be a loss, do not touch them. The do not touch them, Rashi says, lemoichron. Don't sell them. By selling them as they are now, you would get their cash value, and that would be preserved. But the Tanakhama says, no, even though they are continuing to rot away, do not sell them. The Gemara, you will see later, qualifies this, but in the meantime, we're dealing with the translation of the Mishnah. Rab Shimon ben Gamliel loymer, moichron b'fnei beisdin, b'fnei shehu kemeshiv aveira lebailim. Rab Shimon ben Gamliel says, you will sell them in the presence of the court, make sure it's an honest sale, an honest price, and the explanation is that through that behavior, you are like restoring a lost article to its owner. After all, if we allow things to continue as they are, the vegetation, the perishables are rotting away, what will be left to give back the owner when he comes to claim it from the shomer? So sell them, and with that you're viewed as a meshiv aveda, a returner of a lost article. Now the Gemara. My taima. What is the reason for the Tanakhama who says even if they are rotting, or as Rashi says, even if the mice are eating away at them, lo yigabohen? Why not? Omar Rav Kahana, Odom roitze bekav shaloi mitisho kabin shel chavero. A person would prefer to have a kav as a measure, as a one kav measure of his own produce that he toiled and labored to produce, rather than nine kav measures of his friends. Something that you worked on, you develop a connection with it, a close association with it, and would prefer that which you produced, more than the ready-made version, many times greater, that belongs to someone else that presents it to you. So that's why, if the produce that was entrusted to you, produce that was produced by the owner, he would prefer getting back, even if it's rotting, getting that back rather than the exchange value of it. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok Omar, Chayshinon Shemo Ason Hamafkid Truma Umaiser Al Mokoyim Acher. Rav Nachman has a totally different approach. He says you can't. You as the shomers, the bailey, cannot sell them because maybe while you were watching them, while you were while they were in your possession, the owner, wherever he might have declared the produce in your possession as tithes, truma and meiser tithes, for other produce that he plans to eat. That he's eating. Truma and Meiser are tithes that are given to the Kohanim and Leviim. Truma especially is something that only a Kohen is allowed to eat. You can't sell it on the open market to some purchaser, some member of Klal Yisrael who's not a Kohen is going to end up eating Truma. that the original owner declared as such, unbeknownst to you, the shomer. So you don't have the option of selling it because of that fear. Just the expression that we read is Shemo Ason Hamafke Truma Meiser Al Mokom Acher. Al Mokom Acher means on another place, on other stuff, means on other perish, other fruits and vegetables that he has somewhere else. Meisve. We raise a problem, and you'll see it's a problem raised against Rav Nachman's approach. The following source says, Hamafkid Peretzei Sechavero, one who entrusted produce by his friend, Hareze Lo Yiga Bohen, very similar to what we saw in the opening of our Mishnah. And here there's a reason given. Why is the Bailey not to sell them? It says, Hareze Lo Yiga Bohen, I should be more precise. He says he shall not touch them, he shall not sell them. No reason is given, but a law is stated. Do not sell them. Lefikach, because the Bailey is restricted from selling them, as a result of that, Balabayas, the owner of the produce, Oisa Oisan Truma Meiser Al Mokom Acher. He has the comfort and knowledge that his produce will be remaining by the shomer. Therefore, he, the owner, can declare the entrusted produce as tithes for other stuff. He can rely on this, on the produce that is in the possession of the shomer, to serve as the truma tithe, the meiser tithe of other produce. And as a result, that other produce the owner can eat, the owner can sell, and claim that it's chulin, the tithes have been taken care of. Where? By the produce entrusted by the shomer. And what gives him that security? Because the law says the shomer lo yiga bohen. We did not explain, and now I want to make a very important point. In this source that we just read, we didn't explain why the shomer is not to touch them. All we said is that the shomer is not to sell them, giving the original owner a great sense of security that the produce is still by the shomer, and he can take the liberty of declaring that as tithes on other produce. Bishlamo lo Rav Kahana, according to Rav Kahana's approach, who gave a reason for lo yiga as what? A person prefers his own over anyone else's. So according to Rav Kahana, this source reads very smoothly. Hainu dekotoni lefikach. The source teaches the outcome, the result of the shomer not selling them, lo yiga bohen, the result of that is the balabayas can then go and declare that which is entrusted as tithes for other stuff. That's the lefikach, is the outcome of the shomer, lo yiga bohen, the outcome of the shomer not selling it, literally not touching it, the practical outcome of that is the balabayas can declare it as tithes. Elo l'Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, my lefikach. If we look at Rashi across from here, Rav Nachman Yitzchok, let's not forget, he is the one that explained the lo yiga, the shomer shall not touch it, because of the fear that the original owner may have declared it as tithes. So Rashi says, my lefikach, isur mechira mishum ha, hu. The original prohibition of selling it was because of the fear that the balabayas, the owner, may have declared it as tithes. Vehechi toli tano asiyoso, how can the tana in this Tanaic source make dependent the owner's tithing beisur mechira, on the prohibition of selling? In other words, according to Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, this source would in effect be saying as follows: the shomer shall not sell the produce because we're afraid the balabayas, the original owner, may have declared them as tithes. Therefore, the balabayas can declare them as tithes. But now that doesn't make sense. So let's go back to the Gemara. According to Rav Nachman, how are we to understand the Tanaic source? Hachi ko'omar. Thusly. Hashto di omar rabbonon lo nazvin dichashinon. Now that the rabbonon have established that guards, that baileys are not to sell, because there is the fear that owners may have declared the entrusted produce as tithes. Oh, so now we know, now we've established that Shomrim will not sell. Now that has been established that Shomrim will not sell, Lafikoch Balabayas Ois Oisan Trumo Maisra Mokomachir. Therefore, owners can, with a feeling of comfort and security and knowledge that their produce is still by the guard, it's still theirs, the guard hasn't sold them, he can declare the entrusted produce as tithes. Omar Rabo Bar Bar Chana Om Rav Yochanan. Here we have a subtopic heading. Lefi Rabo Bar Bar Chana Om Rav Yochanan. Peros de Peros Shirkivu Yoiser Michte Chesreinon. He will tell us that produce that has depreciated, has rotted more than the Kidei Chesreinon. That's an expression which would indicate more than, the acceptable or tolerable amount of rotting. In other words, there's a certain amount that people will tolerate in order to get their produce back, even though it's rotted. But there's a certain point beyond which a person would have preferred, something else, would have preferred getting cash. So the Rabbi Yochanan says that peros sheyukivu yoyser michtei chesreinon divrei hakol mutter l'shomer l'mochron. Everyone will agree, meaning even the Tanakama will agree that the shomer at that point can sell it. If the shomer sees that it's rotting beyond the acceptable amount. The acceptable amount will be featured later in a Mishnah on Daf Mem. Now the Gemara. Omar Rabba Bar Bachana, Om Rab Yochanan. The machlokes we saw between the Tanakama and Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, that whole machlokes that we saw in the Mishnah is Bichdei Chesreinon, when the rotting is within that amount. We'll call it the tolerable rotting level. Aval Yoiser Michdei Chesreinon, but if it's gone beyond that point, it's the rotting is heavy. It's going beyond the standard reasonable amount. Divrei Hakol, everyone, the Tanakama and Reb Shimon Leil agree. Moichron the Beis Din. It's important to note that Reb Yochanan is saying everyone agrees. We continue. Ad the Rav Nachman Yitzchok Vaday Pliga. This statement that if you go to Yoyser Michtei Chesreinon, you can certainly sell it. This presents a great difficulty or a certain point of disagreement between Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, if you recall, says that we're afraid that original owners may have declared the produce as tithes. Therefore, the shomer is not to sell it. Well, if that's on our mind, that the original owner may have declared as tithes, how can you justify a sale? someone will be buying, someone who's a non-Kohen will be buying truma, and it's strictly forbidden for him to eat truma. And the sale done by the Shomer is done in a state of, we'll say, of ignorance, namely that he doesn't know, the Shomer doesn't know what the Bala Bias has done. And as Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, it's quite possible that the Bala Bias declared the entrusted stuff as Truma. So that this claim made that if it's Yosef Mechteches Reinon, you can sell it, is something that Rav Nachman Yitzchak would not agree with. Ad Rav Kahana mi lemo pligo. As far as Rav Kahana is concerned, that a person prefers having his own stuff over ready-made stuff from someone else, does that preference also reflect a disagreement with the comment made by Rabbi Yochanan? Namely, if the stuff is getting to be really rotted, a person would still prefer his own stuff? Good more answers. Ki komar Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana's point of preferring your own stuff over someone else's is when it's within the acceptable rate and level of depreciation, of rotting. Where we say a person would prefer his own stuff that's partially rotted than the good stuff belonging to someone else. However, if it's Yoyser Mechteches Reinon, even Rav Kahana acknowledges that the original owner of the produce would prefer that the Shomer, the Bailey, sells it and gets cash instead. The Gemara asks, is that so that Rav Kahana says that Yoyser Mechteches Reinon, one would agree that you can sell it? V'ha roitze bekav shaloi mitisha kaben shal chaveroi komar. Rav Kahana said a person would prefer to have one kav of his own more than nine of someone else's. Now, a level of rotting where only 1/9 of the original stuff is still there, that's way beyond what we call kedei chesreinon. That's certainly yoser mechdei chesreinon. And still, according to Rav Kahana, the person prefers his own, namely, shomer shall not sell. The Gemara answers, this ratio of one of his own more than nine of someone else is guzma bialma. It's an exaggeration. It's not a reflection of what a person really prefers. And therefore, the comment made by Rabbi Yochanan is something that Rav Kahana could agree with. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a diamond marking, and on the side, under our mivne, our structural note, we indicate these are kushos al Rabbi Yochanan. We're raising questions on Rabbi Yochanan. Meisvei. Lefikach malabayas oisa oison trumo meiser amoka macher. We saw that in the Tanaic source quoted above. If you need to find it, so by all means, use the arrow that you see to the side of the Gemara text, and you'll see where this quote came from above. So we learned that the Shomer is not to touch it, not to sell it, and therefore the Bala Bayis can depend on the entrusted produce for as his tithe for other stuff that the Bala Bayis owns. The Gemara asks, how can the Bala Bayis be so secure, so sure that the produce is in fact still by the Shomer, namely that it's still his, namely owned by the Bala Bayis original owner? In other words, if you want to use something as a tithe, you want to depend on produce as a tithe, it's got to be your own. You can't tithe your produce based on someone else's vegetation. Obvious. That's obvious. So we have to, in order for this allowance that a Bala Bayis can rely on the entrusted produce to serve as his tithes, it's got to be still in the possession of the Shomer, not sold to someone else. Well, but according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says it's still by the Shomer? Velechu shtilmo havu luhu yoyser michtei chesroinon v'zavninu v'kaochil tavolim. Maybe the produce that was entrusted started rotting and reached a level of more than the acceptable rate, more than the acceptable level of depreciation, and in the meantime, the shomer sold it so as to, as we said, to preserve something for the benefit of the owner. So in the meantime, the shomer has sold it, and if the shomer sold it, it's not owned anymore by the original owner, and the original owner is then eating, consuming other produce, having depended on the produce that was entrusted. But just to repeat, but in the meantime, the entrusted produce may have started rotting, reaching a point of yoyster mechteches, right? And the shomer sold it off. So you have the bailim, the original balabayas, consuming his own produce, having depended on the produce remaining by the shomer, and that's not the case. So the bailim is consuming tevel. Tevel is the term used for produce that hasn't been tithed or hasn't been properly tithed. The Gemara answers, Yoyser michtei chesrein lo shchiach. Rotting to that level is something that's uncommon. And because it's uncommon, we tell owners of produce, you know, you can tithe your produce reliant upon the entrusted produce. The Gemara asks, Ve'i mishtakhi mai? And if, in fact, the produce that's entrusted happens to rot away more than kedei chesroinon, what do we say at that point? Mizavninon, that shomrim shall sell? Mizavninon lehu, the shomrim shall sell it? Apad v'lechush, shemo ason balabayas truma umayser al mokom achir? Should we not worry that maybe the balabayas, who we just gave license to go ahead and tithe, is in fact tithed? And the shomer now is selling truma to people that shouldn't be eating truma. The Gemara answers, if that happens to be the circumstance, namely that it's really rotting more than kedei chesroinon, and the shomer has a right to sell it, ki mizavninon nami, when the sale takes place, lekayhanim b'demei truma mizavninon hu, the produce is sold to kayhanim. It's sold to those who have a right to eat the truma. So that even if the balabayas did rely on the produce by the shomer as a tithe, it's going to be sold to people that have a right to eat it. The term demei truma for our purposes means less than the common, at a price that's lower than the common price for that produce. Truma produce has a much more limited market who can eat it, therefore its value is less than the standard retail price. With this in mind, that the sale is going to be to Kehanim, we turn back to Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok above. Ula Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok Nami. According to him, we have a little note on the side, the double star, you can see where he appeared earlier. He explained, according to the Tanakhama, why the shomer is not to sell. He said, not to touch it. Why should he not sell it? Because maybe the owner may have declared them tithes. Well, why still should the shomer not sell it? Nizav ninu lekayhanim b'dmei truma. If the shomer sees that the stuff is starting to rot, sell it to kayhanim for the dmei truma, at the dmei truma rate, the lower market value rate. Isn't that a good solution for the benefit of the owner when the shomer sees the produce starts to rot? Why shouldn't he take advantage of this approach? Sell it to Kohanim. The Gemara answers. Now, note we have a long answer. In this long answer, the Gemara will explain, the point of disagreement between Rav of Bar Chana, who is matir, allows the shomer selling in the case of Yosir Mechdei Chesroinon, and Rav Nachman Yitzchok, who I could say obviously disagrees, who does not allow their sale. And now the Gemara. Behal pligi, it's in the following that they disagree. The Rabo Bar Bar Chana, who quoted Rabbi Yochanan, who says that it's mutter to sell when it's Yosir Mechdei Chesroinon, Sovar, he figures Yosir Mechdei Chesroinon loy shchiach midi. First of all, it's uncommon. V'chi mishtakach, and when the rotting reaches that level of Yosir Mechdei Chesroinon, the kamehu dahavyo Yosir Mechdei Chesroinon. It's after a long time that it reaches that level. Iovid luhu balabayas trumo meiser amokam achir. If the balabayas had declared as tithes the stuff by the shomer, mekame dahavu luhu yoiser michtei chisroinen ovid luhu. He would have done that. He would have made that declaration. He would have done the tithing before it reached that extreme level or advanced level of rotting. Because people don't leave tevel, untied stuff in their own possession, such a long time. Hilkach, ki havu luhu yoyser mechdei chesroinon. Therefore, when the trusted produce actually reaches that level of yoyser mechdei chesroinon, Nizavninu l'koyhanim b'dmei truma. It's sold to koyhanim at the dmei truma rate. And so that the heter of selling is really a description of produce that was legitimately used as a tithe. The phenomenon of reaching yoyser mechdei chesroinon takes quite a long time. And being that the owner may very well have declared it as a tithe, sell it to Kehanim, no problem. However, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, who says no sales of entrusted produce, why not? Savar Yeser Mechdei Chesroinon Mishkach Shchiach. It's a common event, a common reality or phenomenon of reaching extreme rotting. Or I say advanced rotting. V'chi havlu, and when it happens, la'alterhu dahavlu, it happens rapidly. V'i amris nizavninu, and if you're going to leave open the permission of sale to others, you know what problem arises? Zimnin dekodim umasvin lahu, it might be that the shomer, because we mentioned that it happens rapidly, the shomer may have at a very early stage sold them off before the owner declared the entrusted stuff as tithes. V'chi ovid lubala bayis truma meiser molka machir, and when the owner does declare them as tithes, it's true we said that owners don't wait a long time till they tie their produce. However, in terms of rapidness, in terms of quickness and rapidness, the rotting will take place so quickly, according to Rav Nachman Yitzchok, so quickly, even before the time that the owner would have tithed his stuff. And when the owner does tithe his stuff, declaring the entrusted stuff as truma and meiser and mokom acher, lo yoda dezavna, the owner isn't aware won't know that the shomer has already sold it. And if the shomer has already sold it, when the Baal HaBayis comes to rely on that as tithes, it's not a tithe, it's not the owner's anymore, it's been sold. The Ka'achil Tvolim, and the Baal HaBayis ends up eating untithed produce, having improperly or falsely relying on his produce still being by the shomer, but the shomer's already sold it. Therefore, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok says, no selling. And the no selling is the focus in his approach of no selling is to protect the Baal HaBayis from falsely relying on that and end up eating tevel. Meisvei, we raise a question again on Rabba Bar Chanan Rabbi Yochanan. What did Rabba Bar Chanan Rabbi Yochanan say? He said that if the produce is rotting and reaches a point of Yosef Mechtei Chesrona, go ahead and sell, and everyone agrees with that. In this long question, we're going to see what appears at first that it appears that we have a situation of Yosef Mechtei Chesrona, and still not everyone agrees. There is a Man Omar that says Lo Yiga Bohen, and that's a problem for Rabbi Yochanan, who said everyone would agree. Person entrusted produce by the shomer and they rot it. Yayin v'hichmitz, shemen v'hivish, dvash v'hidvish. All of these are examples of entrusted perishables going bad. Wine and it soured. Oil and it hivish, it became ruined. Dvash v'hidvish is the hidvish is the verb form indicating the ruination of the honey. Harezelo yigabohen divrei Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir says not to sell it, not to touch it. V'chachomim oimrin oise lahem takana u'moichron beveizdin. Do something that's of a beneficial nature, literally fix them and sell them in the court. And when the sale takes place, he sells it to others. He doesn't sell it to himself. The shomer is not to keep the produce and, let's say, set aside money to give to the owner, but sell it to an outsider. Kayotsevo, and coming off that theme of selling to outsiders, we have the following other additional examples. Gavait stoka, bisman she'en lehem aniyim lechalek, portin lacherim, v'ein portin latzmon. A gavait stoka is a person in charge of collecting charity funds for the purpose of distributing them to the poor. In the event that there are no poor around, and the cash that the gabbai had collected from the public were copper coins. Copper coins have a characteristic of, rusting or rotting over the course of time. So that if you don't have an impoverished members of the community unto whom to distribute the copper coins, they would be transferred or exchanged for silver coins. They would go to a money changer and exchange them. Let's say the gabbai tzedakah had his own silver coins. So the gabbai tzedakah we're telling you here is portin lachirim. He's to make that exchange, giving the copper coins in exchange for silver coins with others. They ain't portin la'atzmon, but they should not do it with themselves, meaning the gabbai tzedakah should not set aside his own silver coins in exchange for the copper coins. This is a fear of certainly in the eyes of the public, of maybe giving himself an all too good a deal. We don't want the public to think that, like in the case of the shomer selling the peros, he's going to sell them for too cheap. And the gabbai tzedakah, he's going to set aside too little by way of silver coins for the copper coins that he then would personally use. And a third example, gabbai tamchui, bizman she'ein lahem aniyim l'chalek. The tamchui was a public food fund, like a soup kitchen. The tamchui would be an organization that collects food for the distribution amongst the poor, and this distribution was on a daily basis. So the people who were in charge with collecting the food, bizman shein lehem aniyim l'chalek, if there aren't poor around to receive the distribution, they are to sell the food that they collected, moichorin l'achirim. They get then cash funds, they can eventually use that to give to the poor. But the sale of that food is to be done to outsiders, v'ein mochrin l'atzmon. The food collectors themselves shall not themselves purchase that food. Kotoni mihas, peros v'herkivu. It said, however, in this source, fruit that rotted. My love, afilu yeser mechtei chesroinon. Is it not so that the rotting has reached even that advanced level, and yet Rabbi Meir said, lo yigabohen? So we see that there is a mandomar, there is an opinion that says, other than that which Rabbi Yochanan claimed before. Rabbi Yochanan said that if the produce reaches yosu mifdei chesroinon, everyone would agree you're allowed to sell. Here, making the assumption that peros v'rekivu is yosu mifdei chesroinon, we see Rabbi Meir saying, lo yigabon, you're not allowed to sell it. The Gemara says, lo, the source is bichdei chesroinon. The level of depreciation was still within the kidei chesroinon level, the acceptable level. The Gemara asks, "V'hal yayin v'yichmitz shemen v'hivish dvash v'hivish de yeser mechtei chesroinon ninu?" Didn't we see additional examples of the wine that soured and the oil and honey that went bad? That would appear to be yoser mechtei chesroinon. So that and yet Rabbi Meir was saying lo yigabohen. The Gemara says shiny honey. These, the wine, the oil, and the honey, they are different. Kevan de kom. Rashi says, kevan de kom at the bottom line, me'achar she'omdu b'kilkulom, hare kvar omdu v'lo yiskalkulu me'ata yoser. They have the following characteristic. When they reach a certain point of depreciation, of ruination, when they reach that certain point, it doesn't continue, it stops there. But other kinds of produce continue to depreciate to a point that they would be worth nothing. So that the examples of the yayin, shemen, and vash that went bad are not true examples of yoser mechtei chesroinon. Well, we saw in the source that these items that go bad, according to the Chachomim, they're sold. We want to know, shemen v'hivish, dvash v'hivish, oil that became hivish, ruined, and honey that soured. We continue at the top of Omid Beis, l'mai chazu. What are they useful for that the source could say, according to the Chachamim, they're sold? Who would buy it? What's it useful for? More answers. Shemen, chazi legildoi. Soured oil is useful for smearing on leather, on skins. Gildoi are people that are involved with leather production. So the shemen that's gone bad is useful for that, for smearing, applying to skins. Dvash liksisha degamli. Honey that's gone bad has a medicinal value for scabs or sores that are on the backs of camels. So if a camel happens to have a sore on its back, he would use honey that's soured. V'chachomim omrim oise lohem takona u'meichon v'beizdin. This is, of course, a quote from the source we saw on Omer Aleph. We have a little arrow indicating that you can go back there and see the corresponding arrow for the Shitas Chachamim toward the lower part of the page. The Gemara asks, "My takanta ovid lehu." The term takana indicates some type of improvement or fixing, reparation. What is meant by that? The rabbis say, "Oisin lehem takona." Omar Rav Ashi, lekankanim. The benefit of the sale that the Chachamim refer to is for preserving the utensils, the vessels in which these things were stored. We had the wine, the honey, the oil. Rashi says on the third line from the top, Lekankanov, akli shohoyo besocho yiskalkil im yashe besocho. If you leave these rotting things in the vessels themselves will become ruined. So just to go over Rav Ashi's point once again, once we've established that the Chachomim who allow a sale, even though the depreciation is within the acceptable realm, what's motivating what the Chachomim to say to the Shomer, go ahead, sell it? So Rav Ashi says, what you're saving, so to speak, what you're helping out with, is the with regard to the vessels. By selling it, even at this relatively speaking early point, you're preventing the vessels from going bad. As we saw before in the Rashi, the vessels containing fruits that are starting to rot, the vessels themselves go bad. The Gemara asks, "B'mai komiflegi?" What's the underlying point of difference between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim? After all, Rabbi Meir agrees that if it starts depreciating yoser michteches reinon, you're allowed to sell it. So that their whole machlokes is before that advanced state arises. Rabbi Meir says, listen, it's still within the reasonable level of depreciation. Don't sell. The Chachamim say, go ahead and sell. The more sovar, Rabbi Meir is of the opinion, lehefsid meruba choshishu, lehefsid muat lo choshishu. The sages were concerned with preventing an extreme loss. That's yoser michteches reinan. However, a minor loss, like the partial rotting of the fruits, or the depreciation of the vessel containing them, that's a minor level of loss. That's a hefsid muat. That, the rabbis said, the sages say, as far as Rabbi Meir is concerned, the shomer should not sell. We're not concerned with saving the owner that minor level of loss. Don't forget, there were the other considerations that we saw. In at the beginning of the sukkia, Rav Kahana and Rav Nachman Yitzchok explaining that opinion that says lo yiga bohen. Umor sovar, we continue in the Gemara, the Chachomim, who say, even b'chdei chisron, go ahead, sell it. Afilu lehefsid mu'at nami choshishu. The sages were concerned with saving the owner even from a minor loss. A quote from our Mishnah on Omer Aleph, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Yimkareim be'izdin, mipneishu kemeshi v'aveilu l'baylim. The upcoming section of Gemara is involved with psak, with halachic, how to rule halachically on the topic. Itmar, Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Yankiv, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. We should note that we've dashed underlined Rabbi Yankiv, who is quoting Rabbi Yochanan, whose name we underline. He rules that over here we ruled like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, who said a sale should take place, as opposed to Rabbi Meir, as opposed to the Tanakama, who said lo yiga bohen. The bracketed section is skipped initially, and to see immediately the question, the ho omer of Yochanan chadazimna. But Rabbi Yochanan has already told us this. Diyoma Rabba Bar Bachana Rabbi Yochanan. Notice we dash on Rabba Bar Bachana, who also quotes Rabbi Yochanan, who says kol mokum shisham shum aliel b'shusan alocha kamosa. Wherever Rabbi Shimon aliel appears in Mishnayos, the alocha follows him. So we see that Rabbi Yochanan is going to rule like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. What necessity was there for Rabbi Abba to tell us that we follow Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? Now, we'll go over this again, but we skipped a line. The Gemara in the brackets has another psak, the Rova Amar of Nachman, Halacha Kedivrei Chachomim. He rules like the Chachomim that said lo yiga bohen. But again, as we said before, the discussion of the Gemara is focusing on the stance or the ruling made by Rabbi Yochanan, and hence the Gemara asks, "V'ha omra Rabbi Yochanan chada zimna." Rabbi Yochanan has already informed us that we will rule like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Diyama Rabba Bar Bachana Rabbi Yochanan kol mokim shishana Rabbi Shimon Gamliel b'mishnasenu. Wherever Rabbi Shimon Gamliel appears in Mishnaic literature, halacha k'moisai, chutz mi orev v'tzidon v'ray achrona, with the exception of these three cases, which the Gemara features here just in with catchwords, which are found in various places in the Shas, in Bava Basra, in Maseches Gittin, in Maseches Sanhedrin. There are three cases that we don't follow him, even though he appears, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel appears in Mishnaic literature. What's the question? Simply, the question here, it seems to be a redundancy, or what is Rabbi Abba or Rabbi Yankiv telling me that I wouldn't already know from Rabbi Yochanan, quoted by Rabbi Bar Chana? The Gemara answers, Amaroi ninhu valibo de Rabbi Yochanan. There is actually a machloikis of later Amaroyim as to how to understand or how to approach, or what did Rabbi Yochanan say with regard to ruling like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. There's a difference between these two opinions. So it's not a function of overkill or redundancy, but rather there's a fundamental difference between these two authorities. Rabba Bar Bachana held that according to Rabbi Yochanan, there's a general rule. Wherever you see Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's name, you automatically will rule like him, with the three above mentioned exceptions. Rabbi Abba, on the other hand, says Rabbi Yochanan never stated a general rule. Rather, where Rabbi Yochanan rules like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, so we'll follow that. There are possibly many other places that even though Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel appears in a particular Mishnah, that Rabbi Yochanan would not rule like him. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading: Nisayon, an attempt. Mekasher machlekes chachamim shemliel b'mishnasenu, the disagreement between the chachamim and Rabbi Shimon Liel in our Mishnah, to connect it be'inyan mechiras pikadon shel peros shenirkoven, namely their machlokes regarding the allowance of a sale of entrusted produce that's rotting, and we want to connect that lesugyas meiridin karoiv lenichsei shavui, to a new sugya. And that new sugya happens to deal with a person who unfortunately was taken captive. He's a shavui. He has properties, fields, produce in the fields, and if we leave the fields unattended, uncared for, the fields will go bad. Do you see a parallel idea here? We had in our Mishnah Machlokas Tanaim concerning rotting fruits, and we'll then have a Tanaic discussion concerning properties that are going to go bad. And what would be the solution for that? The solution would be to allow a korov, a relative, to descend into the properties of the captive and care for the properties. This discussion will continue till Daf Lamed Tes Omer Aleph. Now the Gemara. Midarabon Shimon ben Gamliel, from his opinion that it is mutter to sell the fruits that are entrusted in order to preserve their value. Nishma, let us conclude, de moiridin koroiv lenichsei shavui. This is the topic we refer to in our nosei, a topic that you'll see discussed quite extensively later, that we allow a relative to descend into the fields of a captive. And by doing so, he'll cultivate the field and preserve the field. Midarabonon nishma de'ein moridin korov lenichsei shavui. According to the Rabbanon, who said, osur ligabohen, in the case of the entrusted article, then we would say that a relative is not allowed to descend into the field of his captive korov, his captive relative. In other words, we don't take measures to preserve fields from depreciation. Notice we have a long marking. The Gemara rejects this equation. In other words, that which we say by the produce that's entrusted and the possibility or lack thereof of sales is not parallel to the case of field owned by captive and relative descending into it. Dilma, ad kan lo kamri, and you'll notice we'll say attack this attempted parallel from both angles, from Rav Shmuel Gamliel's perspective and from the Rabbanon's perspective. Dilma ad kan lo kamri Rav Shmuel Gamliel hocha. It could be that Rav Shmuel Gamliel was allowing the sale of the produce here regarding the entrusted produce, elamishum de kalya karna, because if not, the principle will be destroyed. Kalya is a word like vayichulu, is to finish off. Karna, karen, the principle. There'll be no principle left. There'll be nothing left if you don't intervene. There's the possibility that the fruits will be a total loss. Avol hasam, when it comes to real estate, when it comes to a field, there's no total loss. It's true there's loss in terms of the cultivation, the current cultivation situation, current fruits, but the real estate remains there. The principal isn't going to be lost, even if the relative doesn't go to tend to the field. So who says that Rav Shmuel Gamliel would allow a relative to descend into the captive relative's field? V'ad kan lo ko amri rabbonan hocha, the rabbonan who prohibited the sale of the entrusted produce. Here it's a specific restriction. Eli Ikarav Kahana, Ikarav Nachum Bar Yitzchok. We saw on Omid Aleph at the beginning of the sugya, Rav Kana's consideration of a person prefers to have one of his own kav more than nine of someone else's, or the fear that maybe the produce was declared as tithes. So those are reasons to restrict the sales of the entrusted produce. Aval Hasam, with regard to the nichsei properties of the shavui of the captive relative, Hachi Nami Demoridin, we would allow a relative to come to descend into the field and tend to it. The Gemara asks, Lameimra Detrei Tami Ninu, are you saying through this analysis that the two topics are governed by separate, unrelated reasons? And the result of that was that you can have someone that says you're allowed to sell the fruits, but you can't go into the field to produce them. Is that really so? V'omer of Yudah Mar Shmuel, halacha k'mshum Gamliel, that you're allowed to sell the fruits that are entrusted. V'yomar Shmuel morid in karov l'nichsei shavui, and he says you can have a relative descend into the field of the captive and take care of it. Lav mishon d'cha taimahu, isn't this because they're one in the same? So that Shmuel's two piske halacha reflect a uniform or consistent type of reasoning, that these two halachas are rooted in the same same foundation, the idea being preserve property from loss. Lo, the two rulings of Shmuel are, we'll say, independent rulings, that they're not dependent on one another. They're two separate reasons. Hachi nami mistabra, and we say this is also quite likely that one they're not interdependent ideas. The Omar Rav Omar Rav Nachman halacha kedivrei chachamim. You see Rav Nachman ruling like the chachamim that it's osur liga bo, the shomer cannot sell the entrusted produce. The Omer Rav Nachman here is the same Rav. Rav Nachman says Morid in Korov lenichsei shavui, that we do allow a relative to go into the field to cultivate and care for the field. So you have the same rabbi, Rav Nachman, saying when it comes to sale of fruits, no, even though there would have been a consideration of preservation, but no. And when it comes to the field, yes. Elo shmamino trei taime ninhu shmamino. So we see from here that these two areas of halacha are governed by two separate points of analysis. They're not interdependent. And now the Gemara turns its focus onto the topic of shavui and morid and korov or not. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading, and we also indicate this is a long topic going till Lamed Tesam at Beis. Rav will tell us in this sugya, Ein Moridin Karov Lenichse Shavui. We don't allow a relative to go and cultivate the captive's fields. And Shmuel will tell us, Moridin, we allow it. The Gemara, Itmar, Shavui Shinishba, person was taken captive. Rav Omar Ein Moridin Karov Linachosav. The Korov spoken about here is someone who would be fit to inherit, and there's no closer relative. We do not allow him to cultivate the field. Ushmul Amar Moridin Korov Linachosav. We allow it. Now the Gemara qualifies. Under what circumstances does the machlokes Rav and Shmuel arise? B'sheshamu bo shemeis, if we heard that the captive died, kuli amo lo pligin do moridin, everyone agrees that we're not risking anything by having the relative go down and cultivate the field. And Rashi explains that if the original owner actually comes back, so the relative that tended the fields in the meantime will be entitled to take a portion of the produce like a sharecropper does. And sharecroppers we see throughout the Shas, oftentimes getting a third or a quarter of the produce, and the rest they would return to the owner. And if there are witnesses that say he died, so good, this relative is the first in line for inheriting anyway. So if those are the circumstances, then there's no disagreement that we allow the relative to cultivate the field. Ki pligi b'shalosh shamu bo shemes. Well, the machlokas arises when we haven't heard any news of the captive dying. Rav Omer Ein Moridin, we don't allow the relative to descend upon the field. Dilma Mafsid Luhu, we're afraid that he'll try to cultivate the field, he'll try to squeeze it for all it's worth, in common jargon. Rashi explains, we're afraid that he will not fertilize the field, he will plant constantly, thereby weakening the field's productivity. Shmuel, on the other hand, says, Moridin, we allow him to descend even though we have not heard about the relative's death. Kevan Diomar Mar, since it's taught later on Daf Lamedtes, Shaimina Lu Karis, we evaluate the work and the produce like we would in the case of a standard sharecropper, which might be half the produce, a third, a quarter. Lo Mafsid Lahu, he's not going to squeeze the field for all it's worth. He has a vested interest in making sure the field continues to produce, because he's going to get a percentage of that. If he squeezes it for all it's worth, as long as the relative doesn't show up, or even if he shows up, he's going to end up losing if he squeezes it for all it's worth. Meisvei, we ask on Shmuel the following Tanaic source, Rebbe Lozer Omer, Mimashma Shenemar, from the fact that the Pasuk says, now we're going to quote a Pasuk, which starts off by saying, V'chora api v'rakti eschem. This Pasuk is in Shmos, Perek Chof Beis, Pasuk Chof Gimel. We've quoted it in a straightforward fashion on the side. And you notice we have in the margin, it reads, V'chora api, and I should maybe point out ahead of time that this is in the context of a society that persecutes the orphans and widows. And it says, V'chora api v'harakti eschem b'chorev, the Almighty says, I will become enraged and see to it that you are killed through the sword. V'hoyu neshechem almonos uvnechem yisoymim, and your women folk will become widows and your children will become orphans. So the Gemara here asks, once the Pasuk opens up with V'chora api v'arakti eschem, Yodeani, I on my own could figure out, Shinesheisem almonos uvneim yisomim, if the men folk are killed, so the women will remain as widows and the children orphans. What's the need for spelling out that the women will be widows and the children orphans? Malame. So the extra information in the pasuk comes to tell me, what do we mean by widows? The widows will try to remarry and they won't be successful. Uvneim roitzim lerid v'nichse avien v'ein manichon leisam. The children will try to inherit the properties of their fathers, and they won't be left to do so. They won't be allowed to do so. There's a Rashi across from here says, Elo malamed shenishe mevakshis linosi v'chulei sheyechu b'shevi. The menfolk will be taken captive. And so this pasuk is describing the menfolk being taken captive. V'lo yodu b'neihem im chayim im esim. And their wives won't know whether their men folk are alive or dead. V'yu nishem amonos li'olam. And with that, the wives will remain permanently in a state of widowhood, meaning without a husband. Shame basin manichanay samlinose. The basin, the court, will not allow them to remarry. Uvnehem kiyasimim, and the children will be like orphans. Shelo yirshu nichseim, and they won't be able to to inherit their father's fields. Ushtei kolosein achas shel cheret v'achas shel shevi. In this pasuk, there were two separate curses for the society that persecutes their Yesemim and Almonis. There's the threat of being killed by the sword, and there's a separate threat of being taken captive. What do we see from this? Shema mino ein moridin. We see that relatives are not allowed to descend into the fields of those taken captive. What did Shmuel say? He said, "Moridin karov l'nichosov." We continue in the Gemara. Omar Rava. So now Rava answers on behalf of Shmuel. The source that indicated that we don't allow the relatives to take over the fields, leireid v'limkor tnan, to take over the field and then sell it. But to take the field and cultivate it, that would be okay. Havde uvda b'nahardo, there was an incident in Nahardo. Uposhta Rav Sheshes Meha Masnisen. And what do we mean by an incident in Nahardo? There was a case of someone taken captive. And the story, the question arose, what's to be with the fields? And Rav Sheshes resolved from this source, that Ein Moridin. Omar Le Rav Amram. Rav Amram says to Rav Sheshes, Dilma Leireid V'Limkor Tanan. Why do you say Ein Moridin, meaning even for cultivation purposes? Maybe the source is speaking about the restriction of allowing them to descend and then sell the field. But to go in and take care of the field, that would be okay. Omar Le, Rav Sheshes responded to that suggestion. Dilma mi Pupadisa'at. Maybe you come from the community of Pupadisa. Dema'ilin pila b'kupa demachta. That literally is you put the elephants through the eyes of needles. Which means it's you're involved with minuscular analysis and splitting hairs, but you're missing the point, says Rav Sheshes. For dumya dinashesem uvneim kotani, there's a parallel in the pasuk and hence in the source between the women folk and the children. Ma hosam klal lo, just like in the case of the women, there's zero marriage, no marriage. Their husbands have been taken captive. We don't know if they're alive or not. So there's no marriage for them whatsoever. Avochonami klalo, so too with regard to the children descending into the fields, not at all. Umoridin korov lenichsei shavui tanoihi. The issue of do we allow a relative to descend into the field, which up till now we saw as a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, is really a machlokes tanoim. Tesanya, and now you can see we have a source that takes us down to the second line from the bottom. We've indicated on the side that this topic is a continuation of the issue of Meiridin Korov Lenichsei Shavui on the side that we've written under the Nosei, that this is a machlokes tanoim. diamonds will appear. And under our Mivneh heading, we've indicated that we've highlighted the word Hayored. Gimel Matzovim Shoinim Shel Nechosim. We'll see three different situations involving properties. Disanya. So we're going to point out, as we said, Tanoi, that this issue is a machlokas Tanoim. Hayored Lenichsei Shavui. Ein Motzien Oisoi Miyodoi. We'll translate, one who descends into the properties of a captive, we do not remove him from there. We don't take it away from him. Not only that, but even if they heard that the owners were coming back, and the one who in the meantime had tended the field, harvested, uprooted, and consumed whatever he could, he's diligent and benefits from his diligency. And the following are what we call properties of the captives that we just said. Ein motzi miyado. The description of nichsei shavu is as follows: Hareshoy aviv oy achiv o echad min hamoyrishin holchu lahen mesayam v'shamu bahen shemes. A person's father, brother, or any other benefactor went abroad, and we heard that they died. If you recall earlier, we said we saw that the Rav and Shmuel both agreed that in the case of Shamu Bo Shemes, everyone agrees we allow a korov to go down. It's pointed out, by the way, by the Tosfos in Dibur Masechta Yori Nichsei Shavui that the term of Hayor Ein Motzi and Oseh Miyado, that we don't take it away from him, really goes further. Namely, that we're Moridin Oseh L'Chatchila, Tosfos says. And that's an important point, so as to be able to enable us to tie this into our Sugya. So the Reisha, first of all, is describing a case of Shamu Bo Shemes. We heard him to have died, the relative to die. So there, Moridin Korov Lenichsei Shavui. Let's go to the next case. Hayored Lenichsei Netushin. Now, this term, just like we saw before, Shavui needed to be explained, Nichsei Shavui, this term, Netushin, needs to be explained, which we'll see shortly. But one who descends into the Nichsei Netushin, Motzien Oisei Miyado, we take it away from him. We force him to leave. V'elu hein Nichsei Netushin. The following is a description of that, of Nichsei Netushin. Harei Shehoya Oviv O Ochiv O Echad Min Amorishin Ho Chulim Yosayam V'loi Shamu Bohem Shemes. One of the relatives described went abroad, and we did not hear of his death. The Omar Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, Shomati Shanetushim Kishvuyim. What did we say above about Shvuyim? We said Ein Motzien Oisoi, or as Tosfos said, we're Moridin Korov. We allow a Korov to descend. Here, we will take according to the Tanakama. In the case of Nichsei Netushim, where it's Lo Shamu Bo Shemes, which, just to remind you, the topic of Lo Shamu Bo Shemes was the topic that we saw Rav and Shmuel arguing over. Here we see the Tanoim arguing over that. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel is telling us that Lo Shamu Bo Shemes is like Shuyin, and we Ein Motzi and Miyado, and not only that, Moridin Korov, the Tanakama, he said, no, certainly not. So the issue of Moridin Korov, the Nichsei Shavui, is a Machlokas Tanoim. Hayoyred menichse retushim, motzien oisoi miyodoi. V'elu hein nichse retushim. What is meant by nichse retushim that we send the relative away? Hare shoyovi voyochi voyechod min amorishin kan. V'eino yodea lehechon holchu. The owner of the field did not go overseas. He's here, but we don't know where he is. The Rashi on the third line from the very end, Nichse Retushim, Shanichosim Retushim. That's a description of the abandonment of the properties. Ulekamen Meforish Lehu. Later it will be explained, Retushim, the word Retushim Mashma, She'ozvum Ba'alim Midaitom, V'holchu Lehem. The owners on their own volition left their properties and went. The Kevon Dehoya Loi Litzavois, since they could have issued orders, Horidu Yorshai Linochosai, allow my heirs to take over the property. V'lo Tziva, and he didn't issue such orders. Shma mino lo nichole. It's indicative, it reflects his opposition to that idea, to that suggestion. He doesn't want people, he doesn't want his relatives going into the fields. Unetushim shenotshun baleim bal korchan kagon shenishbu. Netushim reflects a situation of their having been forced away from their fields, as would be the case of someone taken captive. Someone who was taken captive, so he didn't have any state of mind or ability or chance to issue any orders. So regarding that case, there was, we'll say, room for a machloikis tanoim, as we saw. The Gemara asks, Mai shno hanoch dekoru lehu netushim, umai shno hani dekoru lehu Retushim. What's the difference between these terms? The Gemara explains, we of course just saw it in the Rashi, but on the top of the Lamed Tes, the Gemara continues, Netushim de Baal Korchoi, the case of Netushim is a case of abandonment of property against his will. And that's reflected in the following pasuk, Dichtiv Vashvius, regarding the sabbatical year, the Shemitah year, it says Vashvius, the seventh year, Tishmatena unetashta. You see, the word netashta is like the word netushim, which is afkata de malka. The fields during the Shemitah year are declared by the King of Kings, by the Almighty, unowned. They're available to the public, as I'm sure everyone knows. The Shemitah year is a year in which people can, the general public, the entire public, is entitled to enter orchards and vineyards and pick the fruits at free will. That's Afkata de Malka, the declaration of fields being unowned by the Almighty, by the King. That's not something you did on your own volition. So that's called, And the pasuk uses the term netashta, like the word netushim, something that's against your will, that's beyond your will. Retushim, the midaiton. Retushim is a phenomenon of abandonment, but through one's own decision. Dichtiv, the pasuk says, aim al bonim rutsha. The Rashi has an extensive discussion, explanation concerning this particular pasuk, but for our purposes it means an abandonment that was through your own desire, your own will, and not captive, not being taken captive. Tono v'kulon shomin lohem ka'oris. The source that we just read will be explained what it is talking about, what's it referring to in the next few lines. So you see that we have a double underline, one of our series markings, and on the side under the Nosei Mivneh heading, we've written that these double underlines represent Shlavei Birur, stages in terms in order to clarify, Hei Kai Adik Tani, on what? What is this referring to? That which it says in this source, V'chulon Shomin Lohem Kares, all of them are assessed and paid like a sharecropper. So now the Gemara, we have a long question here. Ahei, on what is this, or what is this referring to? Ilemo ashvuyin, if it's referring to the case of nifsei shvuyin, hashta zoriz v'niskar havei, we saw in that case on lamed chesomet beis, and you can use your little arrow to the side of the Gemara text and see where this was quoted, where this was found in the original source. There, the source said that the relative that took over the field is Zoriz Viniskar, which implies he can take everything. My da Ashbach Mibaya, to suggest that he is entitled to participate in the improvements. Do I need to be told that? In other words, in the case of a kerov that was Yuri Lenichse Shavui, he's entitled to everything. The sharecropper arrangement is really a percentage arrangement, not everything. There is a Rashi that we should have read a little earlier, but it's not too late. The Rashi is in the upper third of the page. Rashi says, Shomen Lam Koris. Im Yavo HaBailim, if the owner comes back, Yitlu Elu B'Shvach Karkois U'Peirois Kaminig Arisei HaMokom. The sharecropper who is entitled to a percentage of the property value increase as well as the fruits. So if you think that we're referring to the case of Nifsei Shavui in this source, not so. In the case of Nifsei Shavui, we saw that he's able to enjoy all of the profits and not just a share in them. Let's continue in the Gemara. Ela Aretushim. The Gemara says if that's the case, V'ha Moitzian Oison Miyado Kotani, regarding the Nifsei Retushim, you wouldn't say that the person who descended in there gets a percentage like a sharecropper. Elo Anetushim. Let me just review. In the case of Retushim, it said Homotsino Semiodo. We remove the party from there, which indicates he's not entitled to anything. And the source here indicates he's entitled to a share like an Oris. Elo Anetushim. So rather, we'll have to say that this source is referring to the case of the Netushim scenario where the relative was taken captive and we don't know what his state is. Well, Leman, according to whom is this Tanaic source speaking? Ilema l'Rabbonon, if you're to think it's referring to the Rabbonon in the case of the Netushim. Yeah, but in the Rabbonon in that situation said, Amri, they said, Motsino Isomiyoda, we remove it from him. E, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, and if this Tanaic source, four lines from the top over here, is in accordance with Shimon Gamliel, Homar Shomati Shanatushim Kishvuyin. He said that Netushim is viewed like Shvuyim. And what did we say about Shvuyim? We said Zoras Viniskar, which is Mashmeh takes everything, not like it's just an Oras, which is a percentage. The Gemara answers that it is according to Shmuel Gamliel, Kishvuyin velo Kishvuyin. When Shmuel Gamliel said that Netushim is like Shvuyin, it's like Shvuyin, but not all the way. Kishvuyin deimos yosem yodo. If you descend into a field of Netushim, we don't remove you from it, just like we said in the case of Nifsei Shvuyin. However, velo Shvuyin. Deilu hasam, in the case of Nifsei Shvuyin, we said, Zorez Viniskar, he's entitled to all of the benefit and profits of what he was doing till that point. Viluhacha, but here, in the case of Netushim, Rav Shimon Leo will tell you, Shaiminon like Oris. He's entitled to profits like an Oris, like a sharecropper. Moore asks, Umayshno meha disnan. What is the difference between our topic and the following? It says, Amoitzi oitzos anirse ishtal, one who invested, he made expenditures in his wife's properties. These are properties that a woman that we call nichse maluk, she brought properties into their marriage, to which she's the owner of the principal, and he, the husband, benefits from the produce. Hotzi harbe, and let me just add that we're going to add to this situation, the husband either dying or divorcing her. So it says, Hotzi harbe v'ochal kimo. He made extensive expenditures, benefited very little. Kimo is a small amount. He ate a small amount. Kimo made little by way of investment, v'ochal harbe, and enjoyed great profit. Masha hoitzi hoitzi, umasha ochal ochal. Whatever he expended, and whatever he consumed, he consumed. So, as far as, we'll say, taking care of or investing in properties, here we see a different resolution or a different conclusion than what we have spoken of till now. We said Shomin Land Chorus, that he's is able to profit like a sharecropper. So that, why not, in the case of the husband, let's say, divorcing his wife, we would make an assessment of how much he invested, how much profits there are, and then give him a share like an oris. But that's not what we say. The Gemara answers, Ha lo damya ella leha. If you want to make parallels, so make a parallel as follows. In other words, if you want to parallel the case of a relative descending into his relative's field to a case of a husband making investments in wife's properties, so you would do it you would make a parallel in the following case of marriage. Now, before we go on in this, we should point out that we're going to talk about a rabbinic type of marriage. That's a case where a father died, and he left a daughter, and there's a widow and sons, sisters of this ketana, of this minor. There's a rabbinic entitlement to them, to the mother or the brothers, to marry her off. That kind of marriage, if she decides before she becomes a legal adult to depart from the marriage, she says, I want out, let's call that mi'un, and no need for a formal divorce, and she's considered as having never been married. So just to review, if you want to make a parallel between the way we deal with nichsei shvuyin and the way we deal with, when I say shvuyin, it's in the context of netushim, the captive person whose state we are not aware of. If you want to make a parallel between that and the case of marriage, so it would be in the following. Hamoitzi hoitzos anirsi ishto ketana. A husband who made expenditures on properties of his wife that's a minor, with whom he has a rabbinic marriage. A type of marriage, as we said before, that she could exit at any time before she becomes an adult. Can you imagine his sense of security regarding her properties? She can end up leaving him and taking her properties with her at any time. Would you not imagine that such a man married to a minor in this rabbinic fashion would want to squeeze her properties for whatever it's worth and not really take care of them in a proper way. So what do we say so as that to avoid that situation? We say that one who makes expenditures in his ishtoi ketana's properties kemoitzi al nichsi achir domi is as if someone made expenditures, improvements on someone else's property. And the rule there is, and Rashi points this out, that if a person made investments in someone else's property and did not benefit from that property to the tune of his expenditures, we make an assessment. How much is he entitled to, like an oris, like a sharecropper? What's the point? Amo kevan delo samcha daite takinu le rabbonon ki hechi delo livsedinu. Since he, the husband of the minor, doesn't have a sense of security with regard to how long this marriage is going to last. It could last. It could expire at any moment. So the rabbis intervened and they made an enactment entitling him to a percentage so that he will not ruin the field. He will not squeeze it for all it's worth. Hochonami, so too in the case of the relative that descends into the captive's field. Takinu le rabbonon. The rabbonon made an enactment that he should benefit like an oris. Ki hechi delo livsedinu, so that he shouldn't come to ruin the field, as we already have explained. The source that we saw above used the term v'chulon. Chulon is an inclusive type expression. And we want to know, what does v'chulon shomin lam kores v'chulon l'suyei mai? Chulon comes to include whom? L'suyei, so it comes to include, and now you'll notice we have a bracketed section, and on the side of the more we have a starred note which reads, so Graham Elu, these brackets mevusosim al Rashi b'masu l'siye, the kulon bo l'siye ha de Rav Nachman. The kulon expression is coming to include that which Rav Nachman teaches on his own after the brackets, by Reach Machmas Mardin, the case of someone who is on the run because he is suspect of having committed a murder, and he wants to save himself, wants to escape and hide from the authorities. And now with that introduction, that we'll say structural note, let's go through the Gemara straight. We asked the word v'chulon, which is, as we said, an inclusive expression. All of them are entitled to a share, like in the case of a sharecropper. So who is included in this arrangement? Lasuye ha diomarav Nachman Omar Shmuel Shavui Shenishba, a person taken captive, Moridin Korov Linachosov. We entitle a relative to descend and care for those properties. Yotzoladas, if a person left the community on his own volition, he could have issued instructions. He was of sound mind. He wasn't under any pressures. He could have issued instructions as to what should be with his properties, but he didn't say anything. Therefore, ein morid in korov v'nechasov. His silence is indicative of his unwillingness to have his properties tended by others. V'rav Nachman didei omar, boireach harei hu kishavui. One who is on the run is like a shavui with regard to his properties. A boreach, as we said, is someone on the run. He doesn't have sound mind. He's not composed, and therefore he doesn't think about what should be with his properties. He doesn't. We don't expect him to have issued any instructions. And in that sense, the boreach, a person on the run, is like the case of the captive. Man left town and he was taken captive. And what do we say in a case of Shavui? We say, Moridin Karov Lenachosov. A relative is entitled to descend and take care. Now, Rav Nachman said that a Boreach, one who is on the run, is like Shavui. Boreach Machmas Mai. He's on the run, but because of what? Ilema Machmas Karga. Because he hasn't paid his head tax. A person like that, he decided to leave the community to avoid the authorities, but he could have. Hainu Ladas. That's like the case of, we saw just four lines up, of Yotza Ladas. He had sound mind before he left. He could have issued instructions. We wouldn't entitle relatives of this kind of Boreach to take over the property. Elo Boreach Machmas Mardin. It's a person who's on the run because of murder charges, and he wants to. He was totally focused on his escape, and therefore we can't expect to have issued instructions, and even in the and therefore in the absence of any instructions, we don't conclude that he doesn't want anyone in his fields. He simply didn't have sound mind before he departed, and Rav Nachman says in that case we entitle a relative to cultivate the field, and as we saw before, the source that said the chulon shomlan koras is including that case of allowing a relative to descend and get paid like an oris in the case of a field owned by someone who had to go on the run because of the murder charges. Omar of Nach, Omar Vihuda, Omar Shmuel. He makes a long point. Shavui Shenishba. Person was taken captive. Viniachani left behind. Koma Liktsar, Novum Liktsar, Tomorrow Liktsar, Zaysen Limso. All kinds of produce for harvest. Koma are standing grains for Ktsira, for that harvest. In Hebrew, there are different words for harvest as they relate to different items that need harvesting. So grain harvest is called liktsor, ktsira, harvesting. Anovim liktsor, the picking of grapes, is called betsira. Tamarim is a reference to dates, ligdor, their harvest. And zesim limsok. What happens? Based in Yordan linechosiv umamidim apotropis, based in descends into the fields, they set up, appoint an executor. Rashi on that says, in the first of the extremely wide lines, Mamidim apotropis lachnis dover hamuchon yeshomer lebailim, to gather in that which is ready for harvest, to gather it in, and it's then available, it's stored for the owner. That's the role of the executor. And reading that in the Gemara, he takes care of all of those different kinds of harvest. And after that, we then have a relative descend, and eventually, if the owner comes back, this relative will receive pay like an oris. So that is Shmuel's teaching. The Gemara asks, "V'loikim apotropa li'olam," and Rashi says on this, "V'loikim apotropa li'olam shelo yitol klum." Have an apotropos oversee this without him taking anything. We spoke about the relative who cultivates the field and he'll get a portion like an oris. Why go through that? Why reach that stage? Why not just have an apotropos there on a permanent basis, and he doesn't get anything? The Gemara says, apotropa l'dekanani lo mukminon. The word dekanani, see the dalet in the word dekanani is interchanged with a zayin, so that if you look at that word, it will remind you of the word zokain. In this case, it means adults. Executors are not appointed for adults. Here we have, we know that someone was taken captive. The relatives that are left behind, they're not children, they're not yesaimim. You're not going to find anyone to serve as an executor for properties that are owned by adults. Rashi says, "Apotropos ledekonin ilomut minon ain't based in Torah from Levakish apotropos lanoshim gedolim shenismali zikonim. Basin is not going to go out of the way to try to find someone who will serve as an executor for people who have reached adulthood, who have, let's say, full beards. That means they're beyond puberty. The fishaloyim tsuhu, they're not going to find anyone like that. The bishamli asmiko, the shamalu." The case of orphans, people hear of their orphans, their orphan status, vavi apotropos l'dvar mitzvah, and they'll serve as an executor. In the meantime, while they're orphans and minors, they'll serve in that capacity because it's a mitzvah, it's a fulfillment of a mitzvah, to help yesaimim, as we mentioned in our shir earlier today. That's a proper thing. That's a mitzvah. That's a fulfillment of a commandment, of a precept. Aval l'dekanani lo shami lahu. But as far as serving in that capacity for adults, that is not going to be the case. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access Marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.